Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to my program. It's called The Midnight Garden, so named because it takes place at midnight, and I'm not exactly sure about the garden part yet. It has something to do. I know when I decided on the name, I was in the midst of looking through some information on our local CSA, people who grow food here in the neighborhood. And I think that's sort of what inspired me to say a garden. So a garden of ideas, perhaps. I don't know. That'll do until I figure out something better. But thank you for stopping by, in any case. My name is Mudtoe Sasquatch. I am known to some as the Uncommon Shaman. I don't sound much like a shaman. You may note that. You may not. I don't know. I'm not really even sure I know what a shaman is or what a spiritual person. What spirituality is. I believe there is I don't want to say force, because first of all, I don't think of it as a force. Second of all, it sounds like I'm saying the force, which I don't mean. There is an ethereal substance to the universe, and that there's a direction in which it is best for things to go, and that our lives are better, easier, and more productive when we can find and follow that direction. And so I spend my days and nights trying to expand that understanding, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. And each week on this program, I want to share a little bit on one topic. And also take a few minutes at the beginning of the show to let you know what's been going on with me. I do still have my temporary assignment, grading standardized tests. One more week to go on that. It's just sort of tiring and dull in the sense that my time is not my own. I have to be at a certain place at a certain time. It cramps my style. Working full time just cramps my style. But I do have some money in the bank now, and I am able to pay some bills without having to go to my mom and borrow the money. So that's certainly positive. Probably I'd say if I was going to pick a couple of things that I really don't like about it, one would be the fact that we do weekend coverage. I don't like having to work on the weekends. And the other thing, although we do get a day off during the week to compensate for it. And then the other thing is all the driving. It's about a half an hour drive each way. Really need for this next one to be looking for something that's closer to the old apartment, which I know is going to be difficult because it is a depressed neighborhood. But there you go. We do have a lightning storm in progress as I speak to you. I prefer to call it a lightning storm. I think most people call it a thunderstorm. But the lightning comes first. And then the thunder is a byproduct of the lightning. So I like to call it a lightning storm. I think that's more accurate. We have a lightning storm in progress. And really, the lightning is really what you need to be concerned about. Not so much as the thunder. Thunder is really kind of helping you out, you know, letting you know how far away the lightning is and so forth. I haven't been outside. I got back to the apartment at 11. I haven't been out for a while, and I haven't seen any huge flashes for a while, but it was going, we had a pretty good light show going on when I came in the apartment. It put me in mind of a trip I took. I was at the airport in Cincinnati, and we had pushed away from the gate, and the pilot came on and said, well, there's I think he said thunderstorm again. I would have said lightning storm. He said, there's a thunderstorm coming in, and we can't take off until it goes by. And he said, it's safer for us to remain here than it is for us to try and go back to the gate. You know, there's more of a chance that something bad will happen if we try and go back to the gate than if we just sit here. So they turned off the lights inside the plane, and we had a fantastic light show out there as we waited for the storm to go by us, which was humbling, I would say. It's the power of nature in a way that you rarely have a chance to see it, you know, and all that openness. Usually a lightning storm, and maybe you'll see a flash. Just very occasionally, you'll see the lightning bolt itself. But this, you know, there's nothing in the way. So we saw every single lightning bolt, and it was rather astonishing. I've had that experience sort of cemented in my mind for a long time when I think about. I find myself thinking of how magnificent human beings are. Well, we've nothing we can do about that. So let's see. Oh, and the reason I want to tell you that, I don't think it actually is a concern now, because I think that the storm has died away. But there were scattered power outages in the neighborhood. I noticed that as I was driving in. So I wanted to say, you know, if the line should go silent, it may be that the power has gone out. And in the case that happens, I have my cell phone handy. I can dial up the old Blog Talk number and continue the program in very short order. But as I say, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the danger of that has passed us by. So there's that. What else can I tell you before I get into the main topic? I need to do a little research and find out, you know, good ways to get to something that's down your drain and causing a rather, I can't say pungent, that's not the odor. It's the odor of something down there being slowly taken back to nature. You know, that kind of smell. Some kind of vegetables or vegetable matter down there in the pipes where I can't get to it. I don't think I put it down there. I'm pretty careful because my garbage disposal doesn't work, hasn't worked since I moved it in. So I'm very careful about putting stuff down the drain. I can't remember material of any volume going down there. It could be an accretion of small amounts of things, you know, over a period of time. That's possible. But I also know I was eating dinner one night, and I heard this kind of otherworldly, you know, blorp kind of sound, like chuds were coming up from the basement or something. And I looked over, and there was this food had come up from the pipes, and it was not food that I had put down there. It was some chicken and rice. And it was just, you know, it was like someone had just, you know, scraped off their plate or emptied out their pot and had flushed it down down their kitchen sink, and it made its way somehow into mine. Which I know, you know, with pipes, that, you know, weird things happen. You know, they get the pressure gets backed up and things get. I don't know exactly. I took one course in college about the way water moves around and the sort of contortions you have to go through to make the water go where you want it to go. And I remember there was one term. This was actually the last class I took as an undergraduate, and I needed like 3 hours of a technical elective. So I took this engineering course about hydraulics, and they were always talking about head. There were just a few of us in this class. There was always this sort of eighth grade snicker that would go through the room whenever the professor would start talking about head. And that's what you need. You need a certain amount of head, meaning amount of pressure provided by a column of fluid is head. But we, you know, obviously we had a different understanding of what head was, and we weren't thinking of the monkey of the movie from the monkeys either. That was fun. That was the end of an era, as I say. Last undergrad class I took. And that's it. That's the end of that story. I think the point I was trying to make was that stuff does weird things instead of pipes. And I find it entirely possible that something from one of my neighbor's sinks could have ended up in my sink. I think something similar may be happening with my shower, because I get these bits of stuff that seems to be coming up. There's no there's no obvious source for it in the room, so it seems like it's coming up out of the drain. Now, I know that's probably more possible if that's from me. But still, you know, it's some sort of alien stuff that's possible too. So I need to figure out a way to get this stuff out of my drain, or at least dissolve it in situ, as they say. Because I got HUD coming in on Tuesday to look at the apartment. HUD is my they're not my landlord. There's another there's actually a private corporation. I always thought they were hooked up with the city, but they're not. They're a for-profit corporation that contracts with landlords to provide apartments for your low-income housing. It can be managed for the amount that HUD allows for each unit. And I'm in one of those. And one of the things, it's a nice deal, except that there are some things, some inconveniences you do have to put up with. And one of them is that HUD comes in every once in a while to make sure, you know, you're not kicking holes in the walls and so forth. So I keep it in pretty good shape. There's a little bit of messiness that I have to tidy up. But the main thing is there's that smell of decay coming from the sink that I like to get rid of. So I have to find some sort of, you know, I've seen these things advertised, stuff you put down your sink to take care of that kind of thing. So I think mostly it's designed for like septic tanks and whatnot. So I'm going to have to do a little more research before Tuesday and get out and get me some of that stuff and make this problem go away. And, you know, that's the Mud Toe Report for Saturday, April 29th, where I am. Whatever time of date it is where you are, I hope your day your last day is going to be a good one, and the next day will also be a good one. And with that, let's move to the topic. I've selected today a topic of distressed real estate that doesn't really cover what I want to talk about. I live in a depressed neighborhood, as I have mentioned before. It was once a very nice neighborhood. Where I'm sort of on the eastern end was a working person's neighborhood. And then as you got closer to Hilltop, which is the next neighborhood to the west, the houses get sort of gradually nicer. But there are a number of houses that are just, you know, people have moved away. This is an abandoned part of the city, and there's not a lot of work, as I had mentioned before. So a lot of people just picked up and moved away, and there are many, many, many vacant homes. And so many of these homes have been taken over by crack dealers and their minions who occupy these. You know, maybe they'll be occupied or they'll be in a house that's got families on either side. I think recently our city got a grant to clean up some of those houses, because I see a bulldozer and a front end loader buzzing around and knocking houses down. You know, just hoping they're not going to knock mine down by mistake. But they'll go and find some of the worst ones. You know, a lot of them have had fires and burned and so forth, and things that just the houses have taken a lot of abuse. And they knock these things down, and they're very efficient at it. I saw one of them take one house down in less than an afternoon, loaded up all the garbage into dumpsters, and I'm sure they were going to have some sort of sorting operation later where they took out the stuff that could be salvaged, and graded out the ground, leveled it, and they were done. Now, I'm presuming there wasn't a basement. They would have had a lot of filter to make that happen. But, after 3 or 4 hours and they were done, you would have never known that that house was ever there. And you see all through the neighborhood, you see these, you know, just spaces, you know, between houses, where the houses are kind of very neatly arranged, but then every once in a while there's a space, like sort of like a missing tooth. You know, you can see that these houses are missing. I guess they had one out further away from me that they discovered someone had used the property as a personal dump. As they were digging around, you know, and leveling it out, they found a lot of construction waste and so forth underneath the house. And so they also found a cache of tires. And as the as the machines were going around, you're trying to manipulate stuff, move it around, occasionally they would dislodge one of these tires and it would roll into the street and cause havoc. So they had a number of police officers there with their cruisers blocking the lane off, which is kind of caused even more havoc. But then, you know, nobody's going to get hit by a tire. Interesting what you find when you delve into these old places. But when you do look around, I know there's one there's an old, I think I've talked about this before on the old show. There are a lot of these old stores, you know, which are convenience stores now, but before they would have been like mom and pop type operations, general store probably. And there's one not too far from me that it's a red brick building and it's just magnificent. Even its imperfections are magnificent because it slopes slightly to one corner because, you know, it's the subsidence has been there for the owner of the building told me it's over 100 years old. And I just hate that you see those buildings and I don't want the bulldozers to roll over them. And I think they probably need something more than a dozer to knock down a brick building. But they have scads of these buildings, and they have to be in the neighborhood of 100 years old because, I mean, that's everything was built out of brick at that point. And some of them people are still living in, and they're taking pretty good care of it. And some of them people are still living in, and they're not taking very good care of it. And some of them they're just going to pot, and it makes me sad, and it makes me angry. Again, the anger of waste. We just had that topic last week. That these houses are in perfectly good shape. They're just not sexy enough. You know, people want newer houses. Even the younger people want something that's like far beyond them without thinking or realizing. And they want to live in the house that they grew up in when they were teenagers, and they don't realize it took their parents years to work up to that house. You know, they didn't start in a house like that. They started in a much smaller house, and they had a kid and moved up to a bigger one, then another kid moved up to a bigger one. And I realized that process doesn't exist so much anymore. But a consequence of that is that these very fine pieces of architecture, very fine, you have perfectly serviceable pieces of real estate. I'm certain some of them are you're run down enough that they would have to be taken down anyway. But I'm equally certain there are plenty of them that could still be used if just someone came along and loved them a little bit. And not only residential homes, but these, as I said, these old general stores, old industrial buildings. And some people have been doing some stuff with those. We have some art communities coming out and taking over the old factories. And that's fine, but you know how many art communities do we really have? I suppose some different kinds of art communities might find their way out here. There's a place a couple of friends of mine have done some work. It's an art, I don't know what you would call it. It's not an art school so much. Really, they teach art lessons. It's like an art foundation almost. To come here and they're preserving, you know, art. They do weaving. They do copper, pound the copper and make necklaces and so forth. And I always like to stop out there. They have an arts festival every summer, and I like to stop out there and see my friends because they're always doing something out there. But it was built in an old brick, you know, old dilapidated brick factory. And I just love the insides of those buildings. I like to look around and try and imagine how the building was originally set up, you know, what was done there, you know, where's the, you see things that look like here looks like where maybe steam came through or some kind of electricity, and I know that's a barrier to repurposing these buildings is that you can't, it's difficult to get modern utilities into them because they just weren't designed to accept them. So you had to do things. You had to put in like drop ceilings and redo the floors and stuff, which really kind of mutilates the building. But it has to be done in order to make it acceptable. This is the kind of thing that makes me, you know, I mean, obviously you believe in freedom and in the freedom of choice, but. wonder if like young people and young families, if that is shouldn't be where they start. Okay, here's where you start out, and you're gonna you'll fix up this house, and you'll live in it for a while, and then if you fulfill all of your obligations, we'll give you a stipend, and you can move on. You know, to help you move on to the next house. I know many of us lack those skills, and of course, the big reason is because we've never been called upon. We never thought we would need them. I knew from school age that I was never going to have to build a house. So why develop those skills? And actually, I think those are skills everybody needs. Building skills, everybody needs to have those. Growing food skills, everybody needs to have those. I really think repairing a vehicle, everybody needs to have those, because what are you going to do, when the system breaks down and there's no more grocery stores, and there's no more Muffler King. I don't think there is any more Muffler King. Midas, that's what I was trying to think of. There's no more Midas, and there's nobody left and if you had like a settlement with some people, I think you need at least, if you're going to live together in some sort of communal arrangement, you would need some people. Those skills would be valuable. I think the ability to repair a car, the ability to repair an appliance, a small engine, the ability to rig up electrical, because if you're going to have some source of electrical power, you don't want to blow yourself up. You don't want to blow up all of your electrical equipment by having it, which is easy enough to do. You got to have all the inverter stuff right, and the voltages right, and then it has to. I remember a guy frying a computer. We had a blackout in the school I was working in, and they brought in a generator. For heat, because it was winter. For heat and lights, and one of the staff got the bright idea to try and plug their computer into it, plug it directly into this generator, and just fried it all to hell. It's got to match. You got to have the right juice, and it's got to be vibrating in the right direction. Is it alternating? Is it direct? What are we doing? I don't think we have any direct current in the United States, but. There's lots of things that can go wrong with electricity. It's not like running water. It's like a friend of mine who's the engineer at one of the first places I worked. Oops, sorry. When the big boss would complain about how long repairs and this, but this was moving. They were moving our plant wholesale from one location to another. We needed a bigger plant, and they were moving all of our stuff from one to another one. The big boss complained about how long it was taking, and he said, "Look, I'm not running extension cords here." So, I mean, that's a skill that it would be very important to have. If you move into, okay, this is it's a big brick house, and it's solid. It's going to protect us from the weather, and inside of a brick, the temperatures, the extreme of temperatures aren't so much. It's a great place to live, but we're going to be living in the dark because we don't know how to wire this thing up. So, where am I going with this? I don't know. I'm distressed, because I think we're going to need. I think as the coming years unfold, we're going to need places like those brick houses that are falling apart. But even if we don't, I mean, even if that's too dire a prediction on my part, I would bring in the idea of the illogic of waste. That this is a perfectly. Perfectly usable dwelling. Why do we use raw materials? Why do we use fuel? Why do we use power? Why do we use manpower that might be used for something else? Why do we do all of these things when we have perfectly good dwellings available, and they're beautiful, better than anything? I mean, you can see. In my neighborhood, I mean, there's a bunch of brick houses, and then across the street, there's, not brick houses. You see, like, it was a development that happens. This is something that happened later on, and they're probably all those older houses at one time, and then, they burned or something. I don't know what happened to them, but they took them down, and they put up these newer houses, and they're just nothing compared to the older houses, and it distresses me to think that it may all be gone someday because of neglect. Neglect, waste, all kind of runs together. The desire for easy living, I don't think is the word I want to use. It's the idea before of just moving into that life that your parents had, and just skipping over the other parts, and the idea of just throwing things away because they're not what we want. Not what I want, we want right now. It's before we get, we don't have that ethic that before we get what we want right now, we'll do this thing first. It's the same reason I favor an apprenticeship system, where you go into the field you want to go into and you do some service, and then you decide, okay, this is what's right for me. Everybody decides it's what's right for you. Then you go on to school rather than going on to college right out of high school. You know, work for a little while, figure out what it is you want to do, and then go to college and have the different entities with an interest in this process be splitting the cost, or you know, at least are you paying it back as you get a job and work. The way we do it now makes no sense at all. It's just, you know, pay all the money up front, and you don't even know if you're going to be, if you'll be able to get a job in that field. You don't know if you're even going to work in that field. You see, it makes no sense, as Bill Hicks used to say. We haven't thought this process out very well, because we haven't needed to. And because what we aspire to become useless. We want to become, you know, so rich that we don't have to work. Just sit around all day and sit by the pool and drink Mai Tais. So our highest aspiration is to reach a point in life where we don't have to be useful to anybody. And that idea cascades down through our entire culture. So we see things like houses being wasted. It makes me mad. But what are you going to do? Keep plodding on, I guess. I do want to be useful. I figure I've got 15 good years left. There's 15 years between me and Social Security. And I want to make them good years. I want to make them productive years. I want to do things. I want to do things that matter. And I'm kind of scattered right now. Scattered and diffuse, as Paul Simon said. It's going to take, you know, to bring it together, have some focus. But I have my hopes. And here I am talking to you guys every week, trying to find that focus for myself. Well, there came the 90-second warning from Blog Talk, so we're about out of time. I want to thank you for listening. I hope at least one or two people out there have been inspired to go out and save a brick house somewhere, or some other kind of house. I don't care what kind of house you save, or some other thing that has been neglected and thrown away. I don't care what it is that you save. I think if I can do anything, I want to inspire everybody to save something. Save something that was going to be thrown away. And I hope that's what... Hope that's what you take from today. So I'm going to play our little bit of exit music, and wish you a pleasant good evening, and come back and see me next time.